It's the turn of a brand new year, a season of hope. We're at Winter's Nadir here at KHSU, dreaming of the renewal and beauty that spring promises. How will we grow from cold, bare trees to lush, flowering blooms? Leadership coach Carrie Williams is here to help with her new book, Eyes on the Prize, a kick-ass guide to setting and achieving great goals. So let's spit in the face of statistics, set some darn goals, and get better at getting better. I'm your host, Emma Brecon, and that's what we're talking about on Through the Eyes of Women on KHSU. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, a program about the lives and perspectives of women, local, national, and international. New Year's and birthdays and anniversaries are a natural time to take an assessment and set some goals, even if we know that many of them will be forgotten by February. We know instinctively that we can be better. But how? Maybe a few extra tools could make it easier to stay on track and get where it is we wish we were. Carrie Williams is a leadership coach who's here to help us with exactly that. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Carrie, would you please educate us, what is a leadership coach?
It's pretty simple, actually. I basically work with individuals one-on-one or in teams, and I help them identify their core values and needs, set goals based on those core values and needs, and then help them create an action plan to achieve those goals. And in the meantime, we work around where they hold themselves back or the habits that get in their way.
How did you get into doing this?
In my past life, I worked as a casting director down here in Los Angeles, and my job every day was to tell hundreds of people no. All the time, no. Never how to get better, never you were so close, just tweak this, just no, because it was my job to find who was right.
You had to crush the dreams of working actors.
I did, and it was horrible. And I started taking actors aside who were really close. Either they booked quite a bit and then they just stopped booking and they didn't understand why, or they would get callbacks, which is like a second interview stage of auditions. They get consistent callbacks but wouldn't book the job and they didn't know why. And at that point, it had nothing to do with skill and everything to do with mindset and the goals they set in that room. So I started mentoring them and they started booking. And then I started mentoring our freelance employees, and they went on to become casting directors and open their own companies. And that's when I realized that's the part I love.
What are some of the mindsets that you were seeing in that room, good and bad? What were you seeing that sort of separated the wheat from the chaff?
So the biggest one is the goal that they set when they walked in that room. Most actors set a goal of, I want to book the job, which puts them in a situation where they're trying to prove themselves, prove that they're good enough, prove that they're worthy. And that's a lot of energy that you're bringing into the room. It was when we could shift that goal to, I want to share my joy for acting, or I'm going to own this role for the next 5 minutes, that they got out of their way and stopped trying to prove themselves and just accepted that what they were bringing to the room was enough.
So they had the wrong focus. They were focusing on getting the job instead of being the character.
Yeah. And focused on trying to get someone to say yes instead of just assuming that the yes was there.
Do you mainly work with entertainers?
About 50% of my business is in the entertainment world. My husband's a video editor. He works on a television show, so that's our network. But surprisingly, no. I would say the other 50%, about 40% are lawyers. And then the other 10% is anything from financial planners to, I'm working with a large elder care company in Texas now. So it runs the gamut.
Had you been planning on writing this book for a very long time? Did something specific compel you?
Well, I have to be honest, this was my great goal for quite a while, and it was a tough one for me because I'm not a writer, and I know that that's the wrong thing to say since I've written a book, but I'm a coach who had a really great idea, and I wanted to give a tool to people who couldn't afford or didn't have access to coaching. So it was never my goal to become an author. It was my goal to share this idea, and it was really easy to get distracted because I have a very busy coaching business. And I do quite a bit of public speaking. And so it was really easy to keep putting this on the shelf for when I had time to handle it and deal with it. So it took me probably about 3 years to get it done. I thought the rough draft would be the hard part, and that's not the case. I was like, I'm done with the rough draft. Woohoo, I'm finished.
Right.
And then I realized that there's four rounds of edits you have to go through.
And I noticed your book opens with, of course, the first part of setting a goal, which is figuring out what on earth you want. And this is apparently kind of a difficult question for a lot of people to answer. What do you want?
It is. And interestingly enough, it's a very difficult question for women to answer because we are really good at putting other people's needs ahead of our own. And we forget what it is we want. So when I work with a client, the first thing we do is get in touch with their core needs and their core values. And a core need is what you need to live a healthy life. And a core value is what you need, what you believe in, what you think is worthy, and what you need to live a really fulfilled life. And a lot of times we forget and we just take on what other people tell us we need.
Well, how do you begin to identify these?
Well, a good way for identifying your core value is to look at the last 6 months to a year of your life and figure out what you spend the most time, energy, and money on. Because if you're spending time, energy, and money on it, it's usually important to you.
And if it's not, that's a cue as well?
Exactly. So I have quite a few clients come to me and they say, health is really important. It's a value. And I say, excellent. So do you go to a gym? Do you work out with a trainer? Do you give it time? They're like, oh, no, I don't make it a priority. So if you're not ready to make it a priority, it's not truly a value for you yet.
You say that two statements have to be true to achieve our goals. You say that we have to believe that we deserve to be fulfilled and that we have the potential to live our dreams. Is this a hard one for your clients to accept?
I think at any point in our life, it could be a hard one for all of us to accept. There are times when we feel like we have to earn the right to have the privilege of following our passion and feeling fulfilled. We feel like it's a privilege and not a right. And I want people to realize that fulfillment and happiness is a choice and a right.
How do you break somebody through to that if they've only been thinking of the people around them or, you know, just functioning in their lives rather than these kind of higher levels of our personal pyramids?
It's a tough one. It's a lot of deep questioning and soul searching to get people in touch with their true value. Most people, when they set a goal, and I'm sure you've heard this, they say, well, when this goal happens, my life will change. And when I lose this weight, everything will be great. And they finally lose the weight, and their life is still the same. They're just fitter and thinner. Right?
Yes.
And so really, the change that we want isn't necessarily the goal. And so that's what I'm helping my clients identify is what is the change you really want? What is the success you really want to achieve? Is it actually losing weight? Because that's not going to change how you feel about yourself. If we want to change how you feel about yourself, then let's tackle that.
So how do you drill down into that? Are you going to guide me from, I would like to lose 15 pounds to what you think my more true goal might be?
So first, we start with the goal that you think is true, because the client is always correct, right? So we start with that goal, and we make sure that we frame it so that it has all the elements of a great goal, so that it's genuine and self-motivated, so that it is reachable. And when I say reachable, I mean being really clear about the time and the energy and the investment that you're willing to make. Is it possible for you to attain that goal? We make it really exact. We make it affirmative in nature so that you are working towards gaining something as opposed to avoiding something or losing something. And then we make sure that it's within your control.
Would you like to walk us through the acronym for GREAT?
Sure. So GREAT, the G stands for genuine, which is making sure that your goal is self-motivated. Statistics say that we're 80% more likely to achieve a goal if it's a goal that we want for ourselves as opposed to a goal that a boss gave us or a spouse gave us. You can tell the difference if you go, oh, I really should do this, or no, I really want to do this. The R is reachable, and that is given the time, the energy, and the money you're willing to invest, is this goal reachable for you? And I like to use the example of, say that I said to you, I want to be a concert violinist. It's possible, right?
Yes, it is possible.
If I say I want to be a concert violinist in a year, a little less possible. If I say I want to be a concert violinist in a year, and I only have an hour to practice a week, I just made that goal impossible. So that's what I mean by reachable. Are you willing to put the effort in to attain that goal? And I see this quite often, especially with weight loss. People will come in and they say, Carrie, I want to lose 50 pounds. And I say, great. Do you have 50 pounds to lose? If you do, let's work on this. And they say, I do. Okay. And then they say, wait, Carrie, I want to lose 50 pounds in 6 months. Makes it a little harder. And I said, well, it's still doable. But they say, I'm not going to change my diet because I really don't want to keep track of things. And I go, okay. So we're going to work out a lot. And they're, oh, but wait, Carrie, I'm really busy and I haven't 2 hours a week I can work out. So again, they took a possible goal and made it unreachable. That's what I mean about reachable. Exact is simply the who, the what, the when, the where, the why of the goal. You have to be as detailed as possible so you have a clear finish line. So we know how to pace ourselves, we know the distance, we know the journey, and so that we can celebrate when you finally reach it. If you set a goal that has the word better or more in it, that's not specific, and that's what we call a sliding goal. Because say you want to make more money. Well, when you make $10 more, you technically hit that goal, but that wasn't what you meant, right?
Right.
So that goal slides. And so you never truly achieve it, and it gets incredibly frustrating. The A stands for affirmative. We need to work towards gaining or growing or achieving instead of avoiding. You can simply think of it as a positive goal instead of a negative goal. So instead of saying, I want to quit smoking, which is inherently avoiding an action, we would say, my goal is to have happy, healthy lungs. We're psychologically programmed to work towards positivity. You also want to phrase it in an affirmative way. So we want to get rid of words like, I want, I hope, I'll try, it'd be nice, right?
Yes.
Instead of saying, it'd be really nice to be a millionaire, we want you to say, I will be a millionaire. So we want that commitment language in the phrasing of the goal. The old school thought was that you should say it like you've already attained it. And in that case, we would say, I am a millionaire. But my problem with that is I know exactly how many dollars and cents are in my bank account. And then I would get into a big argument with myself. So I don't want to lie to myself. I want to be completely honest and committed. So I will say, I will be, instead of I am. And then the T stands for totalitarian. And this is a tough one because this means making sure that your goal is completely within your control. And this is hard, especially for performers, because when they walk in the door, they usually say, Carrie, I want to get the job. I want to win the Oscar. And they can't control that. Somebody else has to pick them or vote for them. So it's really important that you set a goal that your effort will result in the achievement of that goal. Does that make sense?
It has to be completely within my ability to control whether or not I achieve the goal. So instead of saying I would like to win an award, a competitive award, what would I say?
So we would break it down and figure out what are the elements or the things that you need to achieve to likely win that award. And that's what we would focus on. So instead of saying, I will win, let's break it down and make it simpler. I will win a running race. That depends on not only you having a great race, but everyone else having a horrible race. Instead, we would focus on you running your personal best, which we can control. If you run your personal best, you are also likely to win the race. The problem is, if the goal is to win the race or get the job, and you work really hard towards that goal, and you put all of your effort into it, and then at the very end you don't achieve it because of something out of your control, the next time you set a goal, you subconsciously hold back. Because last time you gave it everything and you still didn't get it. And that's what we want to avoid.
You're listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I'm your host, Emma Bracon, and we're talking with leadership coach Carrie Williams about her book, Eyes on the Prize, a kick-ass guide to setting and achieving great goals. Carrie, we've been talking about the elements of a great goal. What are some examples of goals that you have suggested your clients modify?
So we talked a little bit about some of them. A lot of my clients, the first thing they say when they walk in the door is just, Carrie, I want to be happy. And I say, excellent. What the heck does that mean? Right? Because happy is an opinion, really. Your happy is different from my happy.
Right. You can hand them an ice cream cone and an invoice and be done.
Right. Or they come in and they say, Carrie, I want to make more money. And I have handed them a dollar and said, great, we're done. Success. And they're like, that's not what I meant. So when I work with clients, a lot of the things that we work with, sometimes it's business oriented. We're building businesses. Sometimes it's personal. They have a habit that's been holding them back or a fear that they want to work around, or they have a personal goal that they've attempted multiple years and set New Year's resolutions for 5 years in a row and haven't been able to reach it. And so we create a plan of attack for success for them. And sometimes it's just having an accountability partner that helps. Someone who you share your goal with and who you check in with. And when they check in with me, I don't beat them up if they don't reach their goal. I simply say, did you reach the steps you set for yourself? They'll tell me yes or no. And if they say no, I say, what did you choose to do instead?
Oh, what kind of answers do you get out of that one?
Sometimes it's I chose to take my child to the hospital, which is legit, right?
Right.
Of course, any healthy person would choose that. And sometimes it's I chose to watch TV and get in my own way. But the question of what did you choose to do instead reminds us that all our actions are a choice. And we can let a challenge become an obstacle and stop us in our tracks, an excuse that keeps us where we are, or we can look at it as a challenge and figure out a way to get around it. It's whatever mindset we choose to have in that situation. Really, what I'm working with my clients is helping them develop resilient mindsets.
Carrie, have any of your clients ever surprised you?
Absolutely. And that's what I love about this job. And they surprise themselves. I had a client that I started working with, and she set a financial goal for her firm. And we had one session, and she came back for her second session and said, Carrie, I need to set a new goal because I hit that one. She was in a job where large sums of money could come in at any given time, and so she just hustled and made that happen. So she wound up earning that year four times what her initial goal was, and her initial goal was a stretch for herself. And I'm sorry if I'm being a little vague, but there's client confidentiality, so I can only tell so many details.
Of course.
I taught a workshop to quite a few writers, and it was just a two-week workshop. And the first day, they set their goal, they stated their intentions, and I looked around the room and I said, I wonder which one of you will come back and already have achieved your goal. Because they set the goal for a 90-day goal. And they all laughed at me, and they were like, Carrie, that's never going to happen. And 2 weeks later, someone came back and said, I have to set a new goal because I hit that one. She said, Carrie, you said that someone in this room could reach that goal. And I thought, why can't it be me? So I just did it. And that was a goal she'd struggled with for about a year and a half.
And so your book is offering a lot of tools and exercises and techniques to help us stay focused on our goals. What is a motivational anchor?
So a motivational anchor is really interesting. When you are trying to remind yourself of what your priority is, which is your goal, you want to have daily reminders everywhere. I'm sitting in my office in front of a mirror that has my action word for the year written on it because I need that daily reminder. Some people use Post-it.
Can we hear what it is, Carrie?
Oh, so this year my goal for myself was to invest. Invest in the book, invest in my business, invest in my health. And so that was really my focus, was not necessarily on growth and building, but on investing and building that foundation. And I encourage my clients all to pick an action word for the year. And sometimes it's build, and sometimes it's love, and sometimes it's move. But it's simple. It reminds you to stay focused. And an anchor is when you attach a reminder for your goal to an actual object in your daily world. So when my word is invest, I have a picture in my house of a tree, and you can see the branches and the roots. And I, every time I look at that picture, remind myself that when you invest, you are growing not just the branches, but also the roots, so that you're grounded and solid and down to earth. And so that becomes an anchor for me. when I have clients who work towards health law schools, we'll turn tennis shoes into anchors because tennis shoes will remind you to move. Looking at your wedding room can be an anchor because it reminds you that part of the reason you are attempting to get healthy is so you can have a long life with the spouse that you love. Those type of things. You put the meaning into it, but it's so that once you imbue that everyday object with meaning, it becomes a positive reminder for you to stay on track.
Your book also addresses change a lot. A lot of your clients' goals have to do with responding to certain changes. And, you know, humans were kind of notoriously resistant to a lot of change. How can we improve our relationship to change? Because I'm pretty sure change is what they say is the only constant.
Well, we just have to embrace it a little bit. Change is scary. It is the unknown. And we are creatures of comfort and creatures of habit. A lot of times we will stay in a situation even if it's miserable because at least we understand it and we know what to expect. So you can practice embracing change in little ways. Try something new that challenges you. Try something that's just a baby step outside of your comfort zone. And if you fail or suck at it the first time, try it again. That's going to help you with a growth mindset, and it's also going to help you stretch your comfort zone. I had a coach friend who used to describe it really well. She said, when we get close to change, we get that knot in our stomach. She said, and I used to think that that knot in my stomach was a bad feeling, and so I did everything I could to avoid it. I wanted to take all stress out of my life, not have that knot. She's like, and I got rid of it, and I realized that I was not growing. Because that knot in your stomach means you're getting close to the edge of your comfort zone, which means you're pushing yourself, which means you're growing and changing and developing. So now, when she feels that little knot, she knows she's on the right track and she gets excited instead of scared. And that's what I encourage people to do. It is okay to be scared. It's not okay to let that fear stop you.
And Carrie, can we talk about the importance of self-care while we're pursuing our goals?
Absolutely. So self-care is basically the foundation of your house of success. And we sacrifice self-care, usually in the name of the people that we love, without giving it a second thought. When I talk about self-care, I'm talking about diet, I'm talking about mental health, emotional health, physical health. So I'm talking about how much sleep we get and the fuel that we put into our bodies and taking time out to re-energize ourselves. Did you know that 90% of people need 8 hours of sleep to function properly? 5% can live with more, 5% can live with less. The average American gets 6.5 hours of sleep.
Do you have numbers on how many Americans are getting eight?
I don't have actual numbers on that, but the number of people who get 6.5 is 63%.
What are some of your favorite bits of self-care that you do for yourself when you're working towards a goal?
So sleep is really important. I have kind of an evening ritual so my body knows that it's time to start slowing down and go to sleep. I incorporate yoga and meditation into my morning, which is interesting because I'm an evidence-based coach, which is really scientifically based and factual-based. And when I first started reading about meditation, I was like, oh, that's too woo-woo for me. And then I started reading the studies, and it is amazing how the impact that 5 minutes of meditation can have on your physical hormones and on your brain. So I've incorporated that. And then it's just a matter of checking in with myself a couple of times a day to see if I am getting what I need. Because a lot of times when we turn to things that are coping habits, it's because we have a need that's not being fulfilled. When we go to the fridge to eat food, it's not because we're hungry usually. It's because we need something.
Are those needs pretty basic, pretty easy to suss out?
They usually are pretty basic if we just take the time to sit and listen to ourselves and be honest with ourselves.
And then, Carrie, what happens next after we have actually, you know, achieved this goal that we've worked so hard towards? We've lost the weight, we've written the novel, we've run the marathon. What happens after happily ever after?
Well, ideally, you sit in that spot and you celebrate for a little while, right? You feel proud of yourself. You feel the joy of having accomplished. and you adjust to how your life has changed. And then you decide what's next. And it doesn't always have to be more work, and it doesn't always have to be a new goal. But now that you've achieved it and you've felt that joy of achieving, what's next?
So that's for us to figure out as part of this process?
Yeah. Well, the dilemma and joy of goal setting is it's kind of a never-ending process. Because even if you achieve your goal, you're still going to set another one. Because we as human beings are designed for growth, for development, and to find our purpose. That's what drives us. And that's really what goal setting is to help us along that path.
And as we get to the end of our time together today, Carrie, I was hoping that you might share with us some goals that you are currently working on for yourself.
Sure. Well, I have set a goal for myself that I fully recognize is a little out of my control, so I'm focusing on my sub-goals, but I'm hoping to schedule a TEDx talk in 2018. I think that that's a great way to share the message about great goals, and I think a lot of us really want to achieve. We just don't feel like we have the tools or the energy to do it. And then my second goal is much easier and totally in my control. I'm going to take some really amazing, fulfilling downtime this year, scheduled downtime, because that's why we work as hard as we do, so that we can enjoy it as well, right?
True downtime, not downtime for a project or a master cleanse or anything like that, but actual downtime?
True downtime where I go camping in the woods and I get a little grubby.
Wow. Carrie, that might be one of the most radical things I have heard. So I want to thank you very much for helping us set our sights, get our goals in order. And I think we all can wish you some fabulous downtime in 2018. Thank you, Carrie. Thanks for being on Through the Eyes of Women.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I've been your host, Emma Bracon, and I've been speaking with Carrie Williams, author of Eyes on the Prize, a kick-ass guide to setting and achieving great, G-R-E-A-T, goals. Through the Eyes of Women is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University. Thanks to today's engineer and editor, Katie Whiteside, and to our entire production team. You can listen to this show again anytime in Through the Eyes of Women's permanent blog archives. Visit our blog at khsuwomen.com and join us again next Monday at 1:30 right here on KHSU.